So I don't know how your summer was. I had a great summer. So your summer was great. My summer was great. So that's at least two of us. So, new wine was great. But Rachel and I also went off on a holiday. We went to Vancouver, up into Whistler, up in the Rocky Mountains, and then we went on a cruise up to Alaska, did some whale watching, flew over the misty fjords in the float plane. We went canoeing up a river to a glacier, and we did a lot of great stuff. And then we spent a few days with my sister, and then we flew back across the Canadian country, across to Toronto, and then hung out at Niagara Falls for a few days. We had a great trip, and now we're back, and we're just about over the jet lag. But we had a great time. But one of the things while we were there is, one of the things we've always wanted to see is whales in their natural habitat. Not the country of whales, the creatures, whales, in their natural habitat. And so when we were on the ship, that we could see whales kind of in the distance, kind of either spouting water into the air or see their tails kind of flip up as they dove down. We could see kind of in the distance those sorts of things happen from a long way away. And then we went on a whale-watching tour. And this guy that we were with, it was just six of us on a boat with this guy, and he had a radio, and then every now and again over the radio, this report would come in saying, oh, that we've seen this whale over in this area, and this boat would head there. We heard rumors of a whale. And then in the distance, we might see some spouts of water, kind of mist, kind of going up in the air. We're going, oh, there's a whale over there. And then in the distance, you can kind of see the tail flip before it dived and go, oh, amazing, we've seen some whales. This has been fabulous. And this was like a three-hour boat trip. And for the first 2.5 hours, that's about what happened. You would hear a radio call, you'd hear rumors of a whale, then you'd go and kind of see the sort of area where there might be a whale, and it would kind of be in the distance. And that was what we saw. And then we were heading back. And then I was kind of at the back of the boat looking out just in case we missed anything. And then the guy, the pilot of the boat, like, says, oh, there was a whale just over here. Look out. There's a whale somewhere in the area. Just keep a lookout. And he stopped and he killed the engines. And we're looking. And we're looking. And there's nothing. And I turn around and I'm looking and I'm looking. And then there's this almighty noise behind me. And I turn around and there's this whale not far from the boat at all, like spouting water really high into the air. And then he arched his back, and he flipped, and his tail came out, and it was, like, right there in front of us. Now, the reason I tell you that story is because today we are a year on from when we announced that we were going to start focusing on renewal. And this is our statement. We are committed to praying and creating space for renewal in ourselves and in our communities. And we said we were going to focus on this for 2 years plus. This was going to be our focus. This is what this teaching series is about. And we've seen some good things, and we've heard some good things. We've heard rumors of renewal. We've even seen more people coming along on a Sunday. I mean, it was a little bit like when we, in all our wisdom as a leadership team, went, oh, we should start this in September 24. Like, this should be our focus. And we got to the first Sunday in September 24 a year ago. And it was like the Holy Spirit went, oh, yeah, September 24, you know, I can be there. I'll see you there. And, like, the Spirit just showed up. And there were more people in the room. And do you remember, I don't know if you remember, we were talking about show up, step up, and choose life. These were like the three encouragements that we were giving. Like, show up, step up, choose life. And from the first Sunday, there were more people here. And we thought we were ready for this, but we weren't ready. Because straight away, we had 50% more children in our kids' work than we had previously. We're going, oh, now we haven't got enough volunteers. That's a bit of a problem. We've shot ourselves in the foot here. We thought we were ready. We're not ready. And then suddenly lots of people kind of going, oh, well, I could actually do some prayer ministry. And suddenly we had so many people asking for prayer for growth that we were desperately short of prayer for growth practitioners. And so we had to train a whole bunch more because we thought we were ready, but we weren't ready. On that first Sunday, at 10:15, a man walked in at the back and looked around and looked a bit nervous. And someone who was up in the sound box and saw them walk in and like messaged someone, said, "Someone at the back, I think they need prayer." And somebody went over and talked to them and prayed with them. And their story was, "Yeah, I don't go to church, but I woke up this morning and I just had this unignorable sense within me, like this voice saying, go to the gateway, I'll meet you there." And so he showed up and he walked in at the back. And 15 minutes later, he was giving his life to Jesus. This isn't our planning. This isn't our genius. This isn't because we as a leadership team discern the exact correct date to do this. I think the Holy Spirit was going, "Sure, yeah, if you think September, great, I can make that. I'll be there." And just showed up. Because the Spirit is at play here. The Spirit is at work. And we have seen new people every single week since last September. We've seen new 18s to 30s every week since last September, and we've seen new 30s to 80s every single week since last September. There's a lot of new people. If you're sat here going, "Oh, I'm new, I don't know anyone," oh, welcome. We're all sat here going, "I don't know so many people here. There's at least a third of the people in the room. I don't know who you are." And I just introduced myself to someone this morning who's been coming for a year. I was like, "I don't think we've met." Like, we are seeing signs of, we're seeing examples of, maybe we're seeing kind of the spouts of mist somewhat in the distance. But there's more. There's more. What we have seen in this first year is encouraging, is exciting in some ways, is certainly affirming in many ways. But it's not it, is it? This isn't the renewal we're praying for and contending for. Like, there's more. And when we look at the world around us, well, there needs to be more, doesn't there? Because the world is fractured. Anyone spotted that recently? Anyone picked up on that? Like, my word, the world is fractious and difficult and polarized and angry at the moment. Like, there are problems all around us. There's an interesting point here that I just want to pause on for a second. And one of the things that occurred to me on one, I think we were driving somewhere for a few hours somewhere in Canada, and my mind was spinning through a bunch of stuff. And one of the things that occurred to me was I felt like God say or point out to me that every time renewal is at hand, every time revival is at hand, every time reformation is at hand, and I think it is at hand now, the enemy, Satan, always offers a counterfeit renewal, a counterfeit revival, a cheap one. And I think some of what we're seeing going on in the world, when I see people marching through the streets in a very angry voice, waving their St. George's cross and shouting in a very angry voice, "Christ is King." I'm like, that is not the revival that we're looking for. This renewal, this revival doesn't come through Christian nationalism, either in America or in the UK. It doesn't come through anger and politics and enforcing our morality or our law on other people. it doesn't come through as proving we're right and other people are wrong, accepting those who are like us and rejecting those who aren't. That is counterfeit revival. That is counterfeit renewal. That is fraud, and it's cheap, and it's ineffective. And it's a distraction for us. The renewal that God is calling us to, the renewal that the Spirit is inviting us to, is a renewal that starts with us, that forms us, that transforms us, that renews us, and starts with us as individuals and starts with us as a community. And we learn to love all. We learn to love those who are like us and those who agree with us, and we learn to love those who are not like us and those who disagree with us. We allow the Spirit to do the work of confession and consecration and renewal. We become people who are dig deep into the Word and dig deep into our spiritual formation so we can become more and more like the Christ that we follow. Let's not be distracted. Let's certainly not be tempted by the counterfeit renewals we are presented with. Let's be people who commit to a Spirit-filled, Jesus-centered renewal that we are offered at this moment. So, the world is shifting and changing all around us, and the world needs a renewed church. You see, a polarized church has nothing to say to a polarized world. But a church that models unity, that disagrees well, that holds tension, that forgives quickly, that loves abundantly and unconditionally, that church has something profound to say to the world. A disenchanted church has nothing to say to a disenchanted world, but a church that makes space for awe and wonder and mystery, that doesn't pretend to have the answers, but does gather around the person of Jesus, within whom all things are known and experienced. That church has something profound to say to the world and to offer the world. So let's be that church. Let's be a church that pushes in for renewal every way we can, because the Spirit is at play. The Spirit is up to stuff. We've told you one story. There are numerous stories like that where God just seems to be stirring people. It's not through our genius. It's not through our evangelism programs or our outreach programs. It's just that God seems to be working with people and going and calling people to him and awakening people who maybe have no experience of church before, or maybe, you know, have been quite confident in their atheism before, and now they are coming around and going, the things I thought I knew before are nothing compared to what I'm experiencing through the Spirit of God. The Spirit is at play. It is up to us to choose to join in. This is not a spectator sport. This is participation. Renewal is a participation event. Are we up for participating? You see, there are things going on. I mean, pretty much every newspaper has had some sort of front spread about this quiet revival that is being talked around the country. This is from The Independent, Making Christianity Cool Again, Why Gen Z is Flocking to Church. A number of 18s to 24s attending church has quadrupled since 2019, I think it is, 2018. 2 million more people attend church in the UK than in 2019. 64% of 18s to 24s describe themselves as being spiritual now. Only 13% now identify as atheist. These numbers are flipping around in an extraordinary way. This isn't just something that's happening here at YCC. This is something that's happening all over the country and beyond. Bible sales have almost doubled in the last 5 years. There's a lot happening. A recent study from Oxford University has identified 3 key factors that affect better mental health amongst teens. Good sleep patterns is one of them. Regular exercise is another. Attending church, being part of a spiritual group, is the third. How fascinating. This generation is waking up. But it's not just the 18s to 24s or the 18s to 30s. This is across the generations, as we can testify to over the last year. But there's more. There is more. And so my encouragement to us this morning is, let's be encouraged by the things we've seen over the last year as we've focused on renewal, as we've pushed into this, as we've taught into this, as we've prayed into this. And we are slowly becoming a praying church. And let me say this really clearly. There has never been a revival or a renewal or a reformation where prayer wasn't the foundation. If we want to push into this, if we want to see more of this, if we want to contend for this, prayer is at its root. We need to become more and more a praying church. So it's encouraging that we had our week of prayer at the beginning of September, and we're seeing more and more people showing up to that, more and more people participating in that, signing up to that. We want to see more of that. Let's not be a church that settles. You might remember a year ago I talked about this story of Elijah and Elisha. And in this story, the story is that Elijah is about to be taken up to heaven by God. And Elisha kind of knows this, and he wants to stick with Elisha. Is Elijah's kind of disciple, apprentice. And he's going, I am seeing this through to the end. So he says, when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in the whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were traveling from Gilgal. And Elijah said to Elisha, stay here, for the Lord has told me to go to Bethel. Now, Gilgal is a place earlier on in the Old Testament where the Israelites consecrated themselves before they crossed the Jordan and went into the Promised Land. It's a place of consecration. It's a place of encounter. It's a place of covenant between God and man. And so it's a good place, right? It has good history. And Elijah says, look, stay here. I've got business to do with God. I'm going. Like, this is a good place to stay. This place of covenant, this place of consecration. This is a good place. And Elisha replies, as surely as the Lord lives and you yourself live, I will never leave you. So they went down to Bethel. Group of prophets from Bethel came to Elijah and asked him, did you know that the Lord is going to take your master away from you today? Of course I know, Elijah answered. Be quiet. Then Elijah says to Elisha, stay here, for the Lord has told me to go to Jericho. Now Bethel, this is a place of encounter. This is where Jacob encountered God, had a vision of God, met with God. It's a place of worship. It's a place of deep encounter, intimacy with God. It's a good place, right? It's got some annoying prophets, but it's a good place. And Elijah's like, stay here. If you don't want to stay in the place of consecration, stay here. Stay in the place of encounter, of spiritual encounter. Remember that great worship set you want to and you just encountered the Spirit? Think of that and just go, stay here. Like, who wouldn't want to stay here forever? And Elijah's going, stay here. And Elijah's like, no, I am not going to stay here. Have I clicked on in the wrong time? Okay. So they came to him and he says, of course I know, but be quiet about it. And Elijah said to Elisha, stay here, for the Lord has told me to go to the Jordan River. But again, Elisha replied, as surely as the Lord lives and you yourself live, I will never leave you. And they went on together. 50 men from the company of the prophets also went. and watch from a distance. Now, Jordan, this is a place, like Jericho is a place of victory. Jericho is a place of where the walls came tumbling down, of dramatic, transformational victory. And he's saying, stay here. Why don't you stay here? Like, I've got to go to the Jordan, which is where they crossed to go into the promised land. He said, I need to go down there, but you should stay here because this is a place of victory. If you're not going to stay in a place of consecration and you're not going to stay in a place of encounter, how about staying in a place of victory? Have you ever had a real great victory from God where you know God has shown up and delivered a victory for you? And he's saying, stay here. And Elisha goes, no, I'm not doing it. And some more annoying prophets, you know, they might be right, but it doesn't mean that. And it's not annoying. So it says 50 men from the company of the prophets also went and watched from a distance as Elijah and Elisha stopped beside the Jordan. Then Elijah folded his cloak together and struck the water with it. The river divided and two of them went across on dry ground. When they came to the other side, Elijah said to Elisha, tell me, what can I do for you before I am taken away? And Elisha replied, please, let me inherit a double share of your spirit and become your successor. You've asked a difficult thing, Elijah replied. If you see me when I am taken from you, then you will get your request. But if not, then you won't. As they were walking along and talking, suddenly a chariot of fire appeared, drawn by horses of fire. It drove between the two men, separating them, and Elijah was carried by a whirlwind into heaven. Elisha saw it and cried out, my father, the chariots and charioteers of Israel. And as they disappeared from sight, Elisha tore his clothes in distress. He picked up Elijah's cloak, which had fallen when he was taken up. And Elisha returned to the bank of the Jordan River. He struck the water with Elijah's cloak and cried out, where is the Lord, the God of Elijah? Then the river divided, and Elijah went across. This dramatic story where Elisha refuses to settle. He refuses for anything that other people are going, surely that's enough. You know, there's a place of consecration. There's a moment of encounter. There's a moment of victory. Any one of these would be a great place to stop, to settle, to go, surely this is enough. It would be really easy for us as a church to go, look how great things are. Look how many people are coming. Look at how many new people. Look at how many salvations we're seeing. Look at how many people just walking through the doors. Look at the transformation we're seeing, the number of people in prayer for growth. Look at the impact we're having on our community. Look at the renewal we're seeing. It'd be really easy for us to settle and go, this is good enough. As renewals go, it's a B minus. That's enough, right? I mean, that was my entire education. Just do enough. So, it's enough, right? But there's more. And are we going to have the spirit of Elisha and push on for the double blessing? Are we going to have the spirit of Elijah and push on for everything God has for us, for everything that this renewal can be, for every bit of transformation and renewal and depth and realization of the kingdom that we can hope for? This world needs a church of renewal. This world needs a church of hope and of love and of life. It doesn't need a political movement or a return to Christian nationalism or anything like that. That's the thing it doesn't need. What it does need is Jesus. What it does need is the church to show up where we are. Be a place of welcome, be a place of love, be a place of awe and wonder, and be a place of transformation and renewal and encounter. Let's be that church. Let's push on for the more. Let's not settle for what we have. Let's push on for the more. Now is not the time to settle. The world needs a spirit-filled, life-filled church of love and wonder more than ever. Let's push on for that. So how can we do that? Well, we do that by showing up. Let's prioritize meeting together on a Sunday, like we are doing today, in our life groups, in our prayer groups. Let's prioritize showing up. Let's make it a priority in our lives, not just a, well, we'll make it if we can, if we've nothing else on. Let's make it a priority. Let's show up more. Let's be people who step up. And that means stepping up our commitment, which isn't just showing up, but it's participation. Remember, we're saying that this renewal isn't a spectator sport, it's a participation event. So let's show up. This morning, there are opportunities for you to step up. Step up and volunteer. Join in. Whether that's on our media team or on our welcomers team, whether that's in our kids works team, in our youth works team. Remember me saying that our numbers jumped by 50% a year ago and we didn't have enough kids workers. We've been in that place for the last year. We don't have enough. And the numbers aren't dropping. The numbers are rising. We need more. There are more new people coming every single week. We need more people welcoming them at the door, talking to them, connecting them in, helping them to find their space, helping them to find a life group. We need more life groups. We have people on a waiting list to join a life group now. So join, set up a life group. Talk to Lisa. Do the training. Like, there are all sorts of ways we can join in. Let's not just bask in the glory of being part of what God is doing, but let's join in and participate. What's it costing us? So let's volunteer more. Let's give more. Let's pray more. Let's participate more. And let's be people who choose life. Let's be people who choose life. Let's not be people who choose anger or violence. Let's not be people who choose hate. Let's not be people who choose pride, arrogance, imposing themselves. Let's be people who choose life for ourselves and for those around us. Let's be people who love well. Let's be people who serve well. Let's be people who prioritize our own journey of discipleship, who dig into the scriptures, who spend time in prayer, who wrestle with what God is saying, who pay attention, who dare to listen to the voice of God for what God is calling each of us to do. Let's be those people who choose life. What sort of church do we want to be? We believe, with good reason now, that the Spirit, that God is inviting us to participate in a move of the Spirit, in a renewal of the Spirit. When I say good reason, for all the reasons that I've just listed, what we've seen going on around the country, what we see going on here for the last year, we now have evidence to back up our hunch. The Spirit is at play. The Spirit is inviting us. What's our response? Are we going to join in? Are we going to participate? Are we going to serve? Are we going to pray? Are we going to inconvenience ourselves? Are we going to allow this to cost us a little bit? Are we going to show up? Are we going to step up? And are we going to be people who choose life? Can we have the musicians back up? I'm going to paraphrase something. Amy was chatting to me at the beginning of the service, and she sent me a message, and I left my phone down on the chair. So she sent me a message. She said, she feels like there's three maybe disruptions or choices that God's asking us to play, three risks that maybe God is inviting us to take. And those risks are, if I can paraphrase this right, are we ready to risk mistakes? Oh, thank you. Are we ready to risk our dreams failing for the sake of the kingdom? And you know why we can do that? Because our worth is not found by works, but by grace. So we're able to take risks. We're able to give freely, knowing that the free gifts that we have impacts our community by the love of Jesus. Are we prepared to take the risk of disappointment, of failing, as we choose renewal, as we push into renewal? Are we willing to take the risk, or do we just want to stay safe and keep watching for a bit longer? Are we willing to take the risk of changing YCC and changing our community? Maybe we really like it as it is. The idea of it changing might be a little bit risky for us. But are we really willing to take the risk of changing YCC for the better because of who you are and who God is in you? We are all better because of the individuals that are here and the people that you are. And because of the people that you are, we as a church want to be changed because of the people in it and because of who Jesus is in you. And what that means is sometimes some of us hold back because they think that what we have maybe isn't important, or it's not wanted, or it's not needed, or we might get it wrong, or we don't want to push ourselves out, or we don't want to push ourselves forward. And so we hold back and we go, well, there's someone else who can do what God's calling me to do. They can do it much better than me. That's not really for me. But you're here for a reason. God's called you here for a reason. He's called you here because you have something we need. And we're less without you. And you might be consumed by the things that you need, and that's great. We will do our best to provide you with the things that you need, but you also have something we need. So join in. Participate. And the final one. Risk listening and trusting the voice of God. For those that serve lots, it's not about serving out of guilt, but listening to the call of the Father. Are we willing to risk, to take the risk of listening what the Spirit has to say to you and to us personally, specifically? Let's be a church that takes risks. So I want to invite you, if you're up for taking a few risks in this year ahead, why don't you stand and we'll pray. Lord, we want to thank you. We want to thank you for all the ways that you have shown up in the last year. All the answers to prayer that we've seen, all the people's lives transformed by you, all the new people that have joined in under the prompting of your Spirit. We want to thank you for the miracles we've seen. We want to thank you for the healings that we've seen. We want to thank you for the impact that we've seen. But we want more. Lord, we don't want to be a church that settles for this. We want more. We want more of you. We want more of you in our lives. We want more of you in our church. We want more of you in our country, in our nation, in our world. Lord, we want more of your renewal. We want more of your revival. We want more of your Spirit. And so, Lord, we give our yes and amen wherever you ask us to join in, to participate, wherever you ask us to serve, wherever you ask us to give, wherever you ask us to lay down, wherever you ask us to let go, wherever you ask us to take risks. We want to say yes and amen. We don't want this year to be the peak. We want this year to be the journey. We want it to be marked by love. We want it to be marked by healing. We want it to be marked by salvation. We want it to be marked by transformation. We want it to be marked by a change in us. May we not look the same a year from now than we look today. May each one of us, and may we collectively be closer to you at the center. May we be more focused on you. May your spirit be at more work in our lives. May your kingdom have more freedom. May your kingdom come. May your will be done. In us, in YCC, in this town, in this area, in this region, in this nation, as it is in heaven. And his people said, Amen.